It's done. Okay, how are we doing? Can you hear me? Can you understand me? There's a doubt. Oh, it's always a good one to start off. Hasn't it been an amazing morning? Isn't it? Songs are lovely, the puppets. I'm just about to ruin that for you. No, I'm not actually. But it's Merry Christmas, everyone. It's really good to see you. But don't we celebrate Christmas kind of differently? We're celebrating the same thing, but how we celebrate it is quite different. Saffron touched on that a little bit last week, didn't she? She said when she'd get married, the things that she thought were the thing to do on Christmas weren't necessarily the things that everybody else did. And I don't know about you, but you might celebrate Christmas slightly different. We're celebrating the same thing, but we celebrate it differently. It's only since I became a Christian that I realised there was different ways to celebrate Christmas. Okay, I found out there's some people that get up in the morning and they maybe open their stockings, but they don't open their presents. There's a system, there's a tradition, and the tradition has to be followed, okay? Some people, right, don't open their presents until after lunch. What? I tell you what, if that happened in my house, lunch would have just went in 10 minutes. Lunch would have happened about 9:30. Do you know what I mean? Have it, let's go, do you know what I mean? But you might have that, and that's not a bad thing, okay? Having that tradition. And you think, what do you mean? Of course it's not a bad thing. That's the way it should be done, Ian. My family's not like that. My family's, it's like a bun fight at the OK Corral. Do you know, there's plastic, wrapping paper, all sorts of stuff going everywhere. Here's a wee tip, right? If that's your tradition, if your tradition is chaos at Christmas, have a black bag ready and just stick everything in it because you'll lose something. Where's that wee thing that did the thing on my thing, Dad? I don't know. It's on the floor. If it's in the black bag, at least you can revisit it and you can find it. Do you know what I mean? Don't put anything in the bin until Boxing Day. I mean, leave it by the bin, but don't put it in the bin. You know, because that's... What was that? It was on the floor here. And you've got people mulling around. Now, that might not be yours. You might have an orderly, systematic Christmas. Well, God bless you for that. God bless you for that. And listen, it doesn't matter the minutia of how you celebrate Christmas, really. It's that you celebrate Christmas. It's that you celebrate the birth of Jesus. And I don't know, it's just, I'm not a big fan of carols, but they've just touched me today. I just, singing those songs, singing the truth, hearing Mel's song, seeing the puppets, real things those puppets are, you're fantastic. It's kind of touched me. You know, the fact that God sent his son so that we could be in relationship with him. There's an excitement, isn't there, about Christmas? And I've kind of changed my stance on it. My daughter, right, she puts her Christmas decorations up to the last week of November. I was like, no, I'm not having that. Some people put them up the 1st of December. No! But I've come to enjoy it. I've come to like the celebrations of having all the lights. I've changed. You've changed, Dean Bruce. That's what people in Glasgow say to me. You've changed. We can't understand you anymore. I'm like, well, yous are not the only ones. You wouldn't think that I do public speaking for a living, would you? You know, how do people... But what happens is people go, oh, he's a wee bit interesting. I'll try my best to listen. And you see, people have got a look. There's a look when I meet people who I haven't met before. And it's like... And what they're trying to do is they're trying to tune in their ear to my accent. And I've tried to change it. I've tried. It just doesn't work. I've got to be me and you've got to be you. And I'll try my best to communicate as effective. But when you're a kid, it's the expectation of what's going to come. I'm one of these people that I don't really want to know how a magician does his thing. I don't really want to know if you have a present for me, what it is. I love the excitement. I love the build-up. That might not be you, but that's what I enjoy. That's what I love. I love that whole, this is happening, this is coming. This is how we celebrate. For some of us, it's family. For some of us, it's really a somber time. People have been going through stuff here, you know. Let's make sure we don't let life ruin what God's offering us. Yeah, and let's make sure we don't let the circumstances be things. Now, some of us are in real dire circumstances, and I'm not saying, and I don't want to diminish that. But let's look for the joy, because that's what was brought, that's what was given, this joy. For those of you that don't know, I work for Rugby Youth for Christ, and I work with Chris and Ruth and Saffron. And we get into the schools, and our aim is to take the good news of Jesus into the schools, into the lives and the hearts of young people in schools. And there's certain aims that we do that. I'm kind of the assembly guy, right? I'm the guy that goes in and does the shouting. You know what I mean? Ah, you're the funny guy, there's the Jesus guy. Yeah, that's kind of me. Yeah, aye. But just recently, excuse me, I just take a wee drink and my trendy wee water bottle. You know what I mean? Look at that. Malnutrition won't set in today. Lovely, lovely. I won't tell you what's in it. Squash, it's just squash. Before you start going. But just recently, in the last month, maybe even from since November, we've been in the schools doing whole loads of different things. And we don't underestimate the prayers that you guys have invested in us. And you've given us a fantastic platform to go in and share the good news, to share our lives, to share Jesus in us with the young people at Rugby. And just recently, I've been doing something about the Christmas period, about Jesus, the fact that Jesus is not just a story. And sometimes I don't like talking about this story of Christmas, because it's not a story. A story implies that people have made bits up, right? And we have added bits on. We have embellished stuff over the years. But the fact of the matter is, this is the tale of what actually happened. Jesus is a historical figure. You might say, well, I don't believe some of the things I said. Well, that's okay. You're entitled in today's culture to say you don't like something. Just don't tell anybody on TikTok or whatever it is, okay? They'll hound you for it. I don't care. I don't care what people think about me. But the fact of the matter is that we've been in talking about Jesus, the facts, the history of Jesus. And I'm going to give you a wee glimpse into some of the stuff that we've done. So here's a wee video that kind of highlights, what if Jesus was to come back? You might have seen this. What if Jesus was to come back today or 30 years ago? Let's watch this wee video. Bae, 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 bae. That is not an accurate depiction of what happened. But it's almost a pointer to how we kind of treat Christmas now. We've added lots of things. We've moved Jesus about almost. And you've seen the play where everything comes in and we leave Jesus out of the picture. It's become more like that. But I'm going into schools and I'm trying to raise this point and saying, look, that might not be how it happened, and we might have embellished, we might have added things. We might have sanitized the nativity. We might have sanitized the story of Jesus, but the facts remain the same. The facts remain that no other person in history has changed or impacted history like this one person, whoever you believe him to be. And I think that still stands for us. It was just interesting as Mel was singing that song about God being born in us. About God. You see that, and there's a difference, isn't there? You can be a believer, so I believe that stuff, but then you can be a follower, which means you put your belief into action. But what about being a carrier? The birth of Jesus, God living within us. That shouldn't be an alien concept to many of us. You might be hearing it for the first time, that Jesus can live inside of you by the Holy Spirit, called the Spirit of Christ. I don't know where you are today as far as your belief system or who you follow, what you follow, but God's saying this is an opportunity for you to have me living in your heart. To be, when I first became a Christian, it was called being born again. And it says in Scripture, unless a man is born again, you know, and we could talk about the theology of that and the context of that. But at the heart of it, it's about God coming in and doing something. Your spirit and God's spirit, something new happens. I maybe don't go that far in the schools. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus was foretold. Right, let me see if I can get this thing right. There we go, that's it, right? So this, we've read this already today. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. 700 years before Jesus was born, people were talking about him. People were saying, this is going to happen. We're waiting for this Messiah. We're waiting for the Messiah to come. They weren't quite sure how that was going to be. They had an idea of what that looked like. But what are the chances? I mean, they reckon there's about 300, and depending on which part of Google you look up, right, what you click on, there's about 358 to 360 prophecies, right, about the coming king, about Christ. So where he would be born, whose heritage would be, what would be going on at the time, the things that we'd be doing. There's about 360 then. But what are the chances of finding somebody? Because people say to me, oh, you know this Christianity stuff, this Jesus stuff, it's just for deluded people. It's for people who want to believe a delusion, who want to believe in something that they can't see, taste, touch, or see, or measure. I'm thinking, well, it's not quite as simple as that. It's not just people wishful thinking. This is a historical event. Hindus, Muslims, everybody acknowledges the birth of Jesus. And it's so important because it means something. It means something. And it's important to us as human beings. It's the thing that we're looking for, even though we don't know we're looking for it. I never grew up in a Christian household. I grew up in very much would be a secular, a sort of belief. We believed in God, that sort of type of thing. Never went to church, you know, that sort of thing. I was 20 years old when I met Jesus. 20 years old, and you've heard the story time and time again. In fact, it's the only thing I really know what to say. I met Jesus, woohoo, changed my life. But the fact of the matter is, this was foretold over 700 years. This bit of scripture, 700 years before Jesus was born. And some theologians out there will give me the exact date, although it's sort of roughly. But what are the chances of these prophetic things happening? So I did this in the school with the kids. So here's the chances, right? If you were a chidist, you get 8 of those things. So 8 things, 8 prophetic things to happen, right? on one person, if we could get all those eight things, do you know what I mean? So it's like you look at me and you think, he's tall, he's good looking, he's really good at speaking, all that sort of stuff. He's, do you know what I mean? Thank you very much. My wife's here. but say you could get eight of those descriptions that were foretold in one person, what's the chances? Well, the chances are 1:10^17. How is it you say it? Is that how you say it? 10^17? Yeah, see, I'm smart. The chances, this is what it looks like, okay? If only eight of those things. And I never knew this number existed, right? Right? But this is 100 quintillion. Yeah. Yeah, you know Google, but did you know what a quintillion was? Yeah, that's what it is. See, the thing is that, you know, that's the chances to just eat these things. What if we could get them all fulfilled? Well, we couldn't do the maths on that, but we did the maths on 48 of those things happening. Okay, 48 of those facts, those things that had been foretold happening in one person, right? Okay, this is what they are. What are the odds? What are the chances of that happening? And Jesus filled all 360 one of those. You see, Jesus was significant. Jesus was special. But when we start looking at the story, the nativity story, we realize that it's about Jesus. But Jesus isn't the main figure in it, really. He doesn't have the biggest part to play. Do you know what I'm saying? He's at the core of it. He's at the center of it. But you think about people like Mary and Joseph. And James read out a wee bit from Matthew 1, verse 18. And it talks about Joseph. And I think when you think about Joseph, what was going on in his head? You know, here's Joseph going, well, yeah, but she's pregnant. I never. You know that thing? You see kids doing that? No, wasn't me. I never went. No, I did. Joseph's like, I never did that. That was me. That's, you know. See, when we look at the history of Palestine, of the Israelites, he had the right thing for him to do was to divorce Mary. That was the right thing for him to do. So you start thinking, but that never happened. So Joseph has to be a bit of a superstar. So, I mean, he has to be one of those guys, a righteous man. Here's, I'll read this wee bit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Back in those days, adultery wasn't just about a man and a woman not working out, kids in the room, you know. But it was about the breaking of a contract. It was the breaking of a covenant. And the response to that was a very public thing. The response to that was disgrace. The response to that was to almost be humiliated. So Joseph was ahead of the game. He was going like, right, I don't want to embarrass her, so I'm going to divorce her quietly. We'll do it. You see, sometimes I think about Joseph. It wasn't just about doing things right, but it was about doing the right thing. The Israelites, for hundreds of years, had been doing things right, but didn't always do the right thing. They knew the Messiah was coming, but they wanted the Messiah on their terms. They wanted God to provide somebody for what they wanted. That's what, I'm getting a wee bit heavy here, but do you know what I mean? But here you have Joseph saying, okay, God, whatever you want, whatever you've got for me, that's how it's going to be. And that, you see, even just that concept, that's alien to us in our culture. That's alien to us asking God what he wants for your life. Here's my gifts. Here's what I can do. Look at me. God's like, I know. I gave you them. I'm in charge of all this stuff. The fact of the matter is that Joseph didn't do things right, but he did the right thing. And he took Mary as his wife. And he worked with Jesus. He probably taught him how to carpenter, how to work with wood, okay? He invested in him. He invested in the thing that God had asked him to do. So here we have the thing that the Jews missed, that the Israelites missed. They missed the fulfillment of the prophecy. And that's the last line in that wee bit of scripture, isn't it? It says this: all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. Remember all those numbers? Part of that was God saying, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to be. I'm going to fulfill my promise in sending my son. And the fact is that God keeps his promise. See, if God's made a promise to you, now you need to work it and weigh up if it's a promise or just wishful thinking. And you do that by scripture. You do that being part of a community. You do that by being at this place. Listen, I know it's tough sometimes to get here. But see, when you get here and God turns up, it's like, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what my heart's made for this. No, just the church, not just the service, but the meeting. The meeting together with God. The meeting together with God's people. God keeps his promises. Hebrews 10:23 says this: let's hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. And God can be trusted to keep his promises. Hundreds of verses of scripture about God being faithful. Because God's faithfulness is God's promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we come to this place where, I don't know about you when it comes to giving a promise. Do you know a promise? Yeah. When I was young, we used to say, cross my heart and hope to die if I ever tell a lie. A bit severe, don't you think? I want to die if I don't fulfill that thing. I want to be ended because I can't fulfill it. Human beings, we're not like that. Or there's another one I heard, I swear in my mother's eyes. Whoa, wait a minute. How did she get pulled into this? Your poor mum's going to be blind because you can't keep a promise. God keeps his promises. And you might think, well, this hasn't happened for me yet. But maybe it's not the time for it to happen for you, whatever the promise is. Very early on, I believe God called me to communicate the good news of Jesus. I lived in a very working class housing estate, and we were always out telling people about Jesus. We were always there sharing our faith, annoyingly sometimes. But people came to faith through that. Can I just say, we live in tough times, but God's doing something. God's moving, and I don't mean moving away, but he's moving into our culture. And he needs us to be the bringers and the givers of joy. Well, that's a tough one, ain't I? I know. But do you know how you get that? By having Jesus be born in you. And it's tough. You've heard the story about the woman. Every time there was an evangelist or a preacher turned up, she would be down the front asking for more to be filled. And the old guy at the back says, don't, she leaks. The fact is, we leak. But that's why we're called into relationship. If you think this is it, then you're misguided. This is a demonstration. This is a representation of what God's doing in here. And you might not be there yet, but I want to challenge you to maybe this Christmas, the fulfillment of the promise lives in your heart. I love that. I love all the excitement. I love the goodness that God wants to be in relationship with me, with you. What an amazing thing to have happen at Christmas, that God would come And I'm no condemning you for whatever you think you are. Do you know what God's doing? He's saying, come on. Come follow me. Come be in relationship with me. Come closer. Come closer. Joseph obeyed God. He listened to what God was saying to him. And it never contradicted any of the prophecies. It never contradicted the Torah or the Talmud, which were his rules and regulations. But it was a revelation that brought him into relationship. And I suppose that's what I'm hoping for you this Christmas. That you have a revelation of God, that he reveals himself to you. Through maybe the festivities, maybe some of the carols we're singing, through what people are saying to you. But you have a revelation that brings you into relationship so you can say, be born in me today. I'm going to pray and I'm going to hand over to Mel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you reached out, you reached down, you reached into our circumstances. And even now you do that. You reach into our circumstances to break down the dividing wall that sin has erected, to break down, to bridge the gap that keeps us separated from you. So, Lord Jesus, I pray and ask, Lord, that you would be glorified in this building, in this congregation, in our families, in our lives. If you've never prayed the prayer of asking Jesus to come into your life, then I want to challenge you to do that, to acknowledge your sin, your separation from God, ask for forgiveness, turn your back on that and follow him. And I could get you to pray that. But you need to make the decision to do that on your own. So if you've heard something, seen something, something's touched your heart, if you went, oh, then maybe that's God, maybe that's the Holy Spirit saying to you, now's the time. Now's the time to have me born within your heart. So, Father, we thank you. And, Lord, I pray and ask, Lord, that our Christmas celebrations and all the stuff that we do with the family, Lord, and for some of us that's painful, but it would be better than we hope for. There would be an increase of your presence, your joy, your life, your hope within our families, Lord. And that might just be watching Gavin and Stacey. In Jesus' name, amen.